Welcome back to The Trading Floor. I'm David Axtell. Last episode, I introduced myself and explained why this podcast exists to bridge the gap between textbook theory and trading floor reality. Today, we start building your understanding of the market itself. $7.5 trillion. That's the daily turnover in foreign exchange markets, according to the Bank for International Settlements, every single day. To put that in perspective, that's roughly 10 times the daily volume of all the world's stock markets combined. But here's what's interesting. Despite being the largest financial market on earth, most people, even many finance professionals, don't really understand how it works. They know stocks trade on exchanges. They know bonds have yields. But FX? It's this nebulous thing that happens somewhere. Today, I'm going to explain the somewhere. Why FX is structured the way it is, why it matters, and what it means for you if you're operating in these markets. Let's start with the most fundamental question. Why doesn't foreign exchange trade on an exchange like stocks? Think about what happens when you buy shares in Apple. Your order goes to the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ. There's a central order book. Buyers and sellers are matched. There's a single price at any given moment. Everyone can see it. FX doesn't work like that. It's over-the-counter OTC, which means it's a network of bilateral relationships. Banks quote prices to each other. Banks quote prices to clients. There's no single exchange, no central order book, no official price. Why? Three reasons. First, scale. $7.5 trillion a day. No exchange infrastructure could handle that volume efficiently. The New York Stock Exchange does maybe $300 billion on a busy day. FX does 25 times that, every day. Second, the product itself. When you trade a stock, you're trading one thing, a share in Apple. When you trade FX, you're simultaneously buying one currency and selling another. Every transaction has two legs. And there are hundreds of currency pairs that trade actively. The complexity doesn't suit centralized matching. Third, and this is the one people miss, customization. Corporates need forwards settling on specific dates matching their invoice payments. Banks need swaps with particular tenors. Fund managers need to execute large orders without moving the market. OTC markets allow bespoke solutions that exchanges can't provide. Now, there are electronic platforms. EBS and Reuters matching for the interbank market, multi-dealer platforms like FXall, and 360T for clients. These look a bit like exchanges. But they're not. They're networks connecting bilateral relationships, not central matching engines with a single price. When I started in the 80s, it was all telephones. You picked up the phone, called your counterparty, asked for a price. Today, over 90% of spot trading in major currencies is electronic. But it's still OTC. Still bilateral, still built on relationships. That distinction matters, because in an OTC market, who you are affects the price you get. Your credit matters, your relationship with the dealer matters, the size you're trying to trade matters. This isn't a level playing field where everyone sees the same price. It's a market where information, relationships, and reputation translate directly into execution quality. The second thing that makes FX unique is that it never closes. From Sunday evening in New York, when Wellington and Sydney open for Monday morning, until Friday afternoon in New York, the market trades continuously, 24 hours. No closing bell. No overnight gap. Why? Because currencies are global. When it's midnight in London, it's morning in Tokyo. When New York closes, Sydney is waking up. There's always somewhere in the world where people need to exchange currencies. But not all hours are equal. This is where practical experience matters. The market follows the sun through three major sessions. Asia opens first. Tokyo, Hong Kong, Singapore. This is when yen pairs are most liquid, when news from Asian central banks hits, when Chinese data releases can move markets. Then Europe wakes up. London is still the dominant center. About 38% of all global FX trading happens there. Frankfurt, Zurich, Paris add depth. This is when European corporate flows come through, when the European Central Bank makes announcements. Then New York opens. And for about 4 hours, from 8 a.m. to noon New York time, you have London and New York trading simultaneously. This is the golden window. Liquidity peaks, spreads are tightest. If you need to execute a large order in a major currency pair, this is when you do it. I've traded through all these sessions. When I was in Saudi Arabia, we were perfectly positioned. Our morning overlapped with the tail end of Asia, our afternoon with Europe opening, our evening with the New York open. You could watch the market wake up and hand off across time zones. But here's what the textbooks don't tell you. Liquidity isn't just about time of day. It's about what's happening in the market. During periods of stress, and I've lived through several, liquidity evaporates. Dealers widen spreads. Banks reduce the size they're willing to quote. The very moment you most need to execute, execution becomes hardest. That's not a design flaw. That's dealers managing their risk when uncertainty spikes. Understanding liquidity patterns, when to trade, when to wait, when to break an order into pieces, is one of the most practical skills in FX. We'll come back to this when we talk about execution in later episodes. So we've got this massive, decentralized, round-the-clock market. What's actually being traded? That 7.5 trillion breaks down into four main segments. And this is important because each segment serves a different purpose. Spot transactions. That's about 2.1 trillion daily. Spot is the simplest. I give you dollars, you give me euros, we settle in 2 business days. T plus 2. This is the heartbeat of the market, the reference point for everything else. Forward outrights, about 1.3 trillion. An agreement to exchange currencies at a future date, at a price agreed today. Corporates use these to hedge future payments. If you know you're paying a supplier in euros in 3 months, you can lock in the rate today. Options, around 300 billion. The right, but not the obligation to exchange at a particular rate. More flexibility, but also more complexity. We'll cover these when we get to the derivatives book. And then there's FX swaps, 3.8 trillion daily. The largest segment by far, over half the market, and the one most people outside the industry have never heard of. An FX swap is 2 transactions packaged together. You buy euros for dollars today, the near leg, and simultaneously agree to sell those euros back for dollars at a future date, the far leg. It's a temporary exchange of currencies. Why would anyone do this? Funding. Banks use FX swaps constantly to manage their balance sheets. If a bank has excess dollars but needs yen to fund its Tokyo operations, it doesn't go to the spot market and take outright currency risk. It does a swap, lends the dollars, borrows the yen, and reverses the transaction at maturity. No currency exposure, just a funding trade. Central banks use swaps too. When the Fed opens swap lines with other central banks during crises like they did in 2008, like they did in 2020, they're using this mechanism to provide dollar liquidity to foreign banks without taking FX risk. At Crown Agents Bank, managing our Nostro network, we use swaps regularly to ensure we have the right currencies in the right accounts at the right times. It's plumbing, invisible to most people, but absolutely essential to how the financial system functions. One more thing about market structure that's essential to understand. The US dollar sits at the center of everything. According to the BIS, the dollar is on one side of 88% of all FX transactions. Not because Americans trade more than anyone else, because the dollar is the vehicle currency. If a Brazilian company wants to pay a Thai supplier, they don't exchange reais directly for baht. There's no liquid market for that pair. Instead, they sell reais for dollars, then sell dollars for baht. 2 transactions with the dollar in the middle. This happens because dollar markets are the deepest, most liquid in the world. Transaction costs are lowest. Everyone accepts dollars. So the dollar becomes the common language of currency markets. When I was building Nostro networks in African currencies, this was our reality. Nigerian naira, we'd go naira to dollar, then dollar to whatever the client needed. Kenyan shilling, same thing. The West African CFA franc, dollar intermediation. The only time you'd see direct crosses in meaningful size was between major currencies, euro sterling, euro yen, euro Swiss, where there's enough natural flow to support a liquid market. This dollar centrality has implications. It means US monetary policy affects every currency market. It means dollar funding conditions, the availability and cost of dollar liquidity, ripple through the entire global financial system. When dollar funding gets tight, it shows up in the FX swap market first. The basis, the difference between implied dollar rates and actual dollar rates, blows out. Banks scramble. Understanding the dollar's role isn't academic, it's practical. It tells you where to look for stress signals. It explains why crises that start in one corner of the world quickly become global. The dollar is the connective tissue. So let's bring this back to practical reality. What does all this market structure mean if you're actually operating in FX? First, relationships matter. In an OTC market, the price you get depends on who you're trading with and how they view you. Building relationships with counterparties, understanding their business, being a good client, these aren't soft skills. They translate directly into better execution. Second, timing matters. Knowing when liquidity is available and when it's not can save you significant money. Executing during the London-New York overlap versus the Asian afternoon is a different experience entirely for major pairs. Third, understand what you're actually trading. Spot looks simple but has settlement risk. Forwards lock in rates but create credit exposure. Swaps are about funding, not direction. Using the wrong instrument for your need is an expensive mistake. Fourth, respect the dollar's centrality. If you're hedging a currency pair that isn't one of the majors, you're probably going through the dollar whether you realize it or not. That affects your pricing and your risk. And fifth, this one comes from experience. Understand that markets behave differently in stress. The liquidity that's there on a calm Tuesday afternoon disappears when something breaks. Building that into your planning, your limit structures, your execution strategies, that's what separates professionals from tourists. That's the architecture of the FX market. $7.5 trillion, over the counter, 24 hours, four main product types, dollar at the center. It's not complicated once you understand why it's built the way it is, but it is different from other markets, and those differences have practical consequences for everyone operating in it. Next episode, we'll look at who's actually in this market, the banks, the corporates, the funds, the central banks, and what they're trying to achieve. Because understanding the other participants helps you understand the flows, and flows are what move prices. I'm David Axtell. Thank you for joining me on The Trading Floor. If you found this useful, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you will want to go deeper, the FX Cash Products book, co-authored with Luigi Rondanini, covers all of this with the detail practitioners need. Available soon through Rondanini Publishing. See you in episode 3.